Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Joanne Chang has a great motto: make life sweeter, eat dessert first. To that I say, if she's making dessert, I will happily live by those words. Joanne Chang is a pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery, and she's made it her life's mission to make food that's so good you can't stop eating it. Her third and most recent cookbook continues that mission, but she's added the challenge to make life sweet with less sugar. The book is called Baking with Less Sugar: Recipes for Desserts Using Natural Sweeteners and Little to No White Sugar. It includes more than 60 sweet treats made with natural sweeteners and little or no white sugar. In addition to Flower Bakery, Joanne is also chef and owner of Myers and Chang in the South End, and she joins us now in the studio with desserts. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Joanne, and thank you for these wonderful things you've brought in, which we'll talk about, but it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you trying to bake with less sugar, with natural sweeteners, things like maple syrup, honey? Are you using them? What's your question for Joanne Chang, one of Boston's top baker? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Joanne, let me start with just the really basic question that informs this book. Why less sugar?
So you might think it's funny that I would write an entire book about baking with less sugar, given that I sell sugar. I mean, that is the essence of what I do. But the thing is that we often bake with too much sugar. Mm. And for me personally, one of the reasons I love to bake is I love to share my pastries with friends and family. And for me, my most important person that I'm baking for is my husband, Christopher. And he has a huge sweet tooth. He loves when I bring stuff home from the bakery. But he is one of those people who, when he eats a pastry, he goes on this big sugar high and then crashes down to a sugar low. So for him, I have been trying to develop recipes that use less sugar just so that I can still satiate his sweet tooth, but still also make him really happy with these things that I love to make.
Yeah.
So I was starting to play around with pastries with less sugar. And then our guests also at the bakery were asking, is it possible to bake with less sugar? And the more I experimented, the more I realized, yes, you absolutely can. You can create desserts that not only have less sugar, but more flavor. And I came up with a bunch of recipes, and eventually they all came together as a book.
Wow. Well, we'll talk about some of these recipes and some of these great ingredients you use instead of sugar. But another question about sort of thinking about this book. Was it a challenge to sort of your in other words, is this a Joanne versus Joanne bake-off? Is this a sort of challenge to the previous Joanne?
It does feel like it sometimes. One of the things that I brought for you to try is an oatmeal cranberry raisin cookie.
All right.
We have an oatmeal raisin cookie at the bakery that is one of our top-selling cookies. It's delicious. I love it. Everybody who eats it loves it. This is a version that has less than a quarter of the amount of white sugar than in the original recipe that we sell at the bakery. So, you know, we've been making these recently to talk about the book, and something that people keep asking is, are you going to sell these at the bakery? And we haven't introduced them yet at Flower, but we're thinking about it because I don't think you can miss the sugar.
I'm just going to say, so I've taken a bite. It's delicious. Tell me again, this is raisin and cranberry oatmeal cookie.
Exactly.
It's got plenty of sweetness. So what's in there? So the old version of this cookie would have had how much sugar, and what's in there now instead?
This, the old version has 28 tablespoons. This has 6 tablespoons.
Wow.
It's less than a quarter.
Wow.
So the difference is I take half of the raisins and I chop them up fine and mix them into the batter. I increase the amount of vanilla, I increase the amount of cinnamon, and what results is a cookie that tastes really highly flavored with the oats and the cinnamon and the vanilla and the raisins, and you just really taste all of the flavors so much more.
It's so, so good, and it's so sweet. It's amazing. I would never have sort of thought that that's a cookie that is so... Well, here's the question. Is this a compromise? In other words, do you want things to taste as if they have 28 grams of sugar? Or is this a better flavor?
I think it depends on what you're going for.
Yeah.
I think for this cookie, it's so good that it might end up being something that takes the place of our oatmeal raisin cookie. We haven't made that decision yet. It's a really popular cookie to begin with.
Right.
So
you might have an insurrection out.
Exactly.
On the street,
right? I want to be careful what I say. So I think it just depends, you know, if... I think a lot of people do tend to bake with too much sugar. I think a lot of sweets out there have a lot of sugar. One of the characteristics of our pastries is that we try, for the most part, to not put a lot of sugar in them because we are trying to always increase the amount of flavor that's in the pastry. So a lot of these recipes weren't a huge stretch for us, but chemically, there's a big difference in baking with less sugar, and that was a big challenge in this book.
Well, I want to talk about that, but let's just talk about some of the ingredients that you use that allows you to reduce the amount of white sugar. For instance, I'm just looking at the page, the chapter, How to Substitute for Sugar, and number one, maple syrup.
Maple syrup is a fantastic substitute.
Yeah.
If you're looking to bake and you still want things to be sweet, but you would prefer to use a natural sweetener like maple syrup, maple is great because it's very mild. It goes well in almost every baked good. And from a chemical perspective, it doesn't mess around with the texture as much as some of the other sweeteners that you might use. And so there's an entire chapter that just devotes itself to recipes made and sweetened just with maple syrup and molasses.
And maple syrup and molasses. And then, of course, there's honey.
Yes, honey is also another one that I love baking with. Honey is a little bit trickier in that some people don't like the taste of honey as much. Mm. There are people who love honey and then people who are less fond of it. So in terms of flavor, it's a little bit trickier, but I think it makes fantastic desserts.
And I'll just tick through a couple more of these. Vanilla extract and vanilla beans, almond extract, cinnamon and similar spices, and apple juice and grape juice concentrate. So lots of sources of sweetness out there.
Exactly. And even the juices. There's an entire chapter devoted to just fruit desserts sweetened with fruit juices like apple and grape juice. And you can take these juices and use their natural sweetness to sweeten your desserts, and you don't miss the white sugar at all.
But isn't there, you write about this, I mean, isn't one of the complicating factors that you had to sort of deal with is that sugar has many roles. It adds sweetness, but it also holds moisture, aids browning, it tenderizes, it makes pastries crispy, and a whole bunch of other things. See, I read that. But I mean, these other substitute ingredients don't necessarily do all those things, right?
Right. So you do have to be a little bit inventive in the kitchen. An example is the Keith's Super Snappy Ginger Snaps. Now, they're made without any white sugar. And if you are baking a ginger snap cookie, you want it to be snappy. That's the whole point of it. But without the sugar, it's never going to get snappy. It's going to be chewy and soft and almost cake-like. Mm. So what we decided to do with the help of my recipe tester, Keith, is we took the cookie, and in order to make it crispy, we dried it out in the oven overnight. It goes into a really low oven. You just leave it there overnight. And then in the morning when you wake up, it's dried out, and it's crispy and crunchy, and it's a ginger snap that has no white sugar, but instead just the maple syrup and the molasses.
Mm, it's great. Listeners, we're talking to Joanne Chang. She's got a new cookbook book out called Baking with Less Sugar. We want to hear from you. Are you trying to do that, to bake with less sugar? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255, either with your suggestions, recipes, or questions for Joanne Chang. Let's go to Glenn, who's calling from Arlington. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm very interested in this topic. I've been working in my own kitchen. I'm not much of a cook, but I found a recipe online for chocolate pudding. And if you do a search for Hasty Chocolate Pudding, you'll find it. And it only has a very few ingredients, and the first ingredient it listed was half a cup of white sugar. So
oh, wow.
I'm having trouble with digesting cane sugar, so I took all the sugar out of the recipe. The only other ingredients are cocoa powder, cornstarch, and milk. And it specifies vanilla extract, but I took the vanilla extract out and moved it over to the whipped cream that I always make when I make this kind of chocolate pudding. So the vanilla went into the whipped cream. I put in 2 or 3 tablespoons of honey instead, and I reduced the milk just slightly to compensate for the moisture in the honey. And then I went through this, you make it in the microwave in a glass bowl.
Oh, wow.
And it comes out great. And sometimes I add chopped walnuts, and people are like, chocolate pudding with chopped walnuts? Like, really works very well.
Sounds great to me.
That sounds fabulous.
I took it to a potluck, and somebody said, wow, this just like tastes like dessert for adults.
Glenn, thanks so much for that. Really appreciate it. Joanne, what do you think of that recipe?
I think that sounds wonderful. I mean, we have an entire chocolate chapter in the book. And just like Glenn said, it is geared towards people with more sophisticated palates because there's not as much sugar. If you think about chocolate bars. When we're kids, we eat the Hershey's bar, which is like milk chocolate, very sweet. And then as you get older, I think you find that you can appreciate all the nuances of a more bitter chocolate. And so if you just sweeten desserts with just bittersweet chocolate, no added sugar, you do have a dessert that's a little bit more intense in flavor. But man, I love dark chocolate, and I love these desserts that are made with only dark chocolate, and you can eliminate adding white sugar if you just sweeten the desserts with dark chocolate.
Joanne, I want to talk to you specifically about some of these wonderful recipes, but I love when you wrote this in the book. You said, I've never had as many joys and crushing failures in testing recipes as I did here. I'm curious about these crushing failures.
You don't want to hear about the joys?
We'll get to the joys.
Okay. Well, so the first two books that I've written are all based on recipes that I've used over and over at the bakery. So
sure.
They were fun to write, and they were very easy to write. And this book was challenging. There were a number of recipes that I was trying to kind of recreate out of thin air on my own. And one recipe that really stands out is I wanted to make a maple pudding cake. Have you ever had lemon pudding cake?
Yes.
It's got the soft cake on top, and then there's a pudding layer on
yes,
the bottom.
Yes.
It's so delicious.
Sounds
and
great.
They're really easy to make. And I thought, let's make a version without any sugar and just use maple syrup. I must have made this cake 40 times, 50 times. I mean, I feel like every other day I went into the bakery with a new version of it, trying to create this maple pudding cake with no white sugar. And I just couldn't get the eggs and the flour and the maple and everything to work out. And I think I made 40 versions of a rubbery maple, like shoe leather, which never got better. So that was a bummer. It's still on my list of things.
So you just had to give
figure out.
You have to give it up. It's on your list to figure out. So there's a recipe in here of something that just looks so amazing. And in fact, the folks on the staff sort of all pointed to this cinnamon sugar monkey bread.
Ooh.
It looks so luscious. So why don't you describe it? Because it looks impossible to me to be anything other than something just loaded with sugar.
So that's, I'm glad you pointed out that recipe, because that recipe, like you guys just said, it's impossible, you would think, to do a cinnamon sugar monkey bread with less sugar. And one of my bakers, in fact, what we were doing is John and I were trying to brainstorm about things that you couldn't do with less sugar. And he said monkey bread. And so I took that on as a challenge. So this was one of the joys where I took it on as a challenge. And monkey bread, if you don't know what it is bread dough that is dipped in sugar and then baked together. And then you pluck at it, sort of like monkeys plucking at whatever they pluck at. And so you pluck the little balls of dough, and they're sweet and gooey. And we make this with a tiny amount of white sugar. But what really flavors it is there's a lot of vanilla. There's a lot of cinnamon, like we talked about earlier. There's a fair amount of cream and butter, and then there's just a really light, fluffy bread dough. And you find that when you are focusing on the flavors of the cinnamon and the honey and the, or not the honey, but the cinnamon, the vanilla, the butter and the cream, you end up with this gooey dessert that tastes delicious, is sweet, but you're not missing the sugar because you're focusing on the other flavors.
Mm. Let's take some more calls. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Newton. Mike, you're on the air with Joanne Chang.
Hi there. I have a question about the health benefits or lack thereof of this approach. I guess if you're replacing sugar with something like maple syrup, are you actually reducing the amount of, you know, where you might see sugars on the nutrition label?
Good question.
Yes, that's a great question. And when we started writing the book, we asked ourselves, are we writing a nutrition book or a diabetic book? And this is most definitely not that. And so what we're doing in these recipes is we're not purporting that these are necessarily healthier recipes per se, but rather they are just baking recipes that reduce the amount of refined white sugar. So, you know, there are definitely articles and doctors out there who are saying that once it enters your body, sugar is sugar is sugar. So whether you're getting it from refined white sugar or eating an apple, it's still sugar. But from my perspective with these recipes, I'm not trying to say that one is better than the other, but I'm saying that if I have a choice, I'm going to want to have something that has more natural form of sweetness, such as apples or apple juice. And so I'm trying to create recipes that capitalize on that. So it's not that it's more or less healthy. It's just a different way of baking.
Excuse me. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Milford. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question?
Hi. So my question is I love baking, and I cook a lot with applesauce for my two young children for sweetness. But my question for you is that I love baking, but I am dairy intolerant, and I have a lot of problems finding recipes and also figuring out what I can do to replace butter and milk or cream in some. I know there are things like scones that I'll never be able to eat, but I'd love it if you could give me some pointers on that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I disagree that you're never going to be able to eat a scone. I'm going to create a scone recipe for you and send it to you. I think you can make a great scone. It will be a little bit different in texture. It's sort of like these recipes with less sugar. Once you recognize that they're not going to be exact replicas of the original counterpart, you can still be really, really happy with the substitute recipe. So for you, if you can't have butter and you can't have milk and cream, you can still have oil. You can still bake. There are plenty of recipes and scone recipes that you could create with oil. It won't have necessarily the characteristic flakiness of a scone, but it can still be really tender. And then in terms of substituting for the cream or the milk, there's soy milk for sure. And then also just using tofu. If you whip up tofu, silken tofu, it's often very much like cream. We actually, at the restaurant at Myers & Chang, we have a vegan chocolate mousse that's made with silken tofu, a little bit of sugar, and dark chocolate. And you whip it all together, and it tastes as if it's made with eggs and cream. It's different, but it's just as good, if not better.
All right, Sarah, thanks for that call, and I'm glad that you don't have to give up on that bagel after all. Let's go to Mella, who's calling from Roxbury. Mella, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I have a son who, I think he was born a vegan because he couldn't do dairy, eggs, milk, everything made him sick. So over time, I've been working to try and come up with some recipes. He's a grown man now, and he survived without all those things. But one of the things I did was a zucchini bread, and I just wanted to talk a little about veganizing things, and in addition to eliminating sugar. So I did a vegan kind of zucchini bread, and I did put some applesauce in there for some moisture. And then to not have butter and things, I added a little coconut oil. But I took, to get the sugar out, I tried a number of different things. I tried this coconut sugar that they're selling in different places now. And I also tried maple syrup and barley malt syrup, which I added some of those things in. But I had to compensate by putting a little less moisture, because these things were liquid.
Mella, it sounds like you came up with a pretty interesting take on zucchini bread there. Joanne Chang, what do you hear from Mella?
I think those are all really great ideas. I was going to say, in addition to those ideas, you could also try taking some apple juice and reducing it. And if you reduce it, and it thickens up, and then it acts like a sweetener, just like maple syrup or barley malt syrup.
It sounds great. Joanne Chang, I'm so curious. We only have about 30 seconds left, but this is a very general question about what inspired you on this path. Because, and when I say this path, I'm talking about baking in general, because you wrote in the book, I love this, I had more than a stable and respectable job in business consulting. I traded it in to peddle pastry and desserts, not what you do when your parents immigrate to America, work their tails off to give you the best education on the planet, scrimp and save and sacrifice. So what was it about the sweetness of baking that pulled you onto this path?
I think that I personally love to eat sweets, and I love watching people enjoy sweets. So I wanted to be able to do that for a living. I wanted to make desserts, watch people enjoy them, and enjoy them myself.
Well, no one does it better than Joanne Chang. She's the pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery. Her latest cookbook is Baking with Less Sugar, Recipes for Desserts Using Natural Sweeteners and Little to No White Sugar. Joanne, thanks so much for coming in and for these beautiful desserts.
Thank you.
And listeners, that's it for today and for this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.